As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hit to third. Here comes Ramirez home. It's off of Triolo's glove. Everyone is safe, and it is 5-2 Guardians. Here's a liner to center. Cruz will make the catch. Tagging and scoring Arias. Sack fly for Rocchio, and it is 10-2 Cleveland. The Pirates are down to their final strike with a tying run at the plate in the bottom of the ninth inning. 2-2 on Jack Suwinski. Classe sets and delivers. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. And the Guardians take game one, 10-7. Here's a 1-2. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. 200 strikeouts in the career of Paul Skeens. Comes in start number 28. Here's Frazier with two outs and nobody on. The pitch is lined up the middle on a hop. And it's Rocchio on the first, and that's it. Just like that, Cleveland shuts out the Pirates 3-0. Rocchio with one stolen base. Pitch is swung on and hit out to deep right field. Reynolds back to the wall, and there it goes. Home run. Stephen Kwan hits his fourth home run of the year, a two-run shot, and Cleveland wins. They got a 2-0 lead right now. Allen ready. Here's a 1-2. McCutchen hits it fair right up third, and it will go into the corner. Kwan's got to turn on the Jets. That's going to score Reynolds. He's coming in on the double by Andrew McCutchen. It's 2-1. Here's the set in the 2-1. Swinging a ground ball. Past the diving try of Manzardo. Frazier's in to score. Key Brian Hayes knocks him in. That's an out if Frazier doesn't steal third. And Frazier comes in to score the tying run. 3 for the Bucks in the bottom of the ninth. 2 strikes and the pitch. Swing, fly ball, deep left field. That should be deep enough. Pham getting behind it. He'll make the catch, get the throw in, and Noel will score. Sack fly Manzardo. He's driven in 3 today. And Cleveland retakes the lead 5-4 in the 10th. Pitch swung on, hit to right on a line, oh, but caught by Noel.
Oh, he hit it good.
And the tying run left at third. Guardians win in 10. They sweep the series 5-4, the final this afternoon.
Well, that was fitting. The tying run left on third, where a lot of bad things seem to happen to the Pirates. This is a disaster, Bob, and I'm going to get into this in a moment, but first I'm going to inquire as to your well-being. Everything good? You look wonderful. You playing golf today?
No, it just looks that way because you have golf clothes. You wear golf clothes. May I compliment your shirt? Also,
you may.
This is a Travis Matthew. You didn't know that. I bet you your wife bought it for
Who's
you.
Who's Travis Matthew? Can he hit? Can the Pirates
sign
him?
He's a golf fashion guy.
No.
Makes
you like the shirt today, Limits?
I love it.
Rarely do I come in and I'm the best dressed guy among us three. I feel like today I have that mantle, Bob.
I would disagree, but...
What? Who's better dressed?
You don't like this shirt?
I do like it, but you got to give me one day, right?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm with you, Joe. I think you're definitely the best dressed today.
Thank you, Limits.
It's a great shirt.
Congratulations, Joe. It does look... I brought it up, didn't I? I like
yes,
the shirt.
Yes, and I felt needed and loved. Bob and I played Oakmont. We're going to get into that in a little while, right before the U.S. Open, and I didn't even ruin the course, did I, Bob?
No, but I did.
No, you didn't. You played well.
I had my issues. Anyone who plays there knows about that. We'll get into that a little
bit later. Yes, we will. We certainly will. We begin, even on NFL Draft Week, we begin with the Pittsburgh Pirates. I mean, where else are we going to begin? Their season seems to be slipping away before the end of April. I have a little quiz to open up with. Last year, to get to the wild card, which is where the Pirates want to be, where they think they should be, you had to get to 89 wins. They have 139 games left. Okay? Do either of you have any idea what they need to do off the top of your head? How many of those 139 games do they need to win to get to 89 wins? Either of you?
81.
Yes. Very good quick math, Bob. Ron would be proud of that.
It's a Beaver County education, you know.
Exactly. The Pirates need to go 81-58. 81-58 to get to 89 wins. Call me crazy, Bob, but I don't think they're going to get there. In order to get to 87 wins, which is about the average, I think, over the last 3-4 years of the wild card, obviously they need to go 79-60. I mean, it's the season is slipping away before our very eyes. It's already unrealistic to think of them as a playoff team. But that's really not where we begin today, Bob. I have a little soliloquy prepared. Would you like to hear it?
When you prepare the soliloquies, they're always worth listening to. So yes, ladies and gentlemen, here with today's Monday sermon, you could call it, or soliloquy, is Joe Stark.
Let's go back. Let's go back to Saturday night. I've been here for a long time now. I don't know, Bob, 35, 36 years I've been here. I don't know how many times there's been excitement about a regular season game to that degree. Because of the bobblehead, I get it. Since this ballpark opened, I have not seen a line stretch all the way across the Clemente Bridge, all the way to where people were lining up on Fort Duquesne Boulevard. This was a golden opportunity, and who knows, maybe one of the last ones before they disappear, for the Pirates to engender some goodwill, some feel good. You had Skeens on the mound. You had the Skeens bobblehead. And the Pirates even made a great PR move before the game, you know, as opposed, Bob, to replacing Clemente's number with a cocktail can from Philadelphia or putting family memento bricks in a recycling bin in Reserve Township. No, this was a good PR move where Bob Nutting came out and said, everybody, not just the first 20,000 or whoever, everybody gets a bobblehead. So it's a feel-good time, beautiful night, day, afternoon, whatever it was, at the ballpark. Everything is great. This is going to be fun. And then we get to the lineup, and on this day, with all these people here in celebration of the Pirates for once, Andrew McCutchen's not in your lineup? And then the game takes place, and the Pirates don't get a run in the game. They squander yet another Skeen start. McCutchen takes to social media to seemingly take a shot at his manager or whoever. They get another guy needlessly thrown out at third. This time he's injured and raises his hand for timeout and gets tagged out while Mike Rebelgo just watches the whole thing happen. And the game ends, or at some point late in the game, you have 38,000 people or thereabouts chanting, sell the team. Bob, how do you screw up a night like that? They have a situation in the seventh inning where Shelty could have put in IKF. He could have put in Joey Bart. He could have put in McCutchen to pinch hit for Sawinski, who shouldn't be here, let alone in the lineup. He didn't choose any of them. By the way, any of them and all of them should have been in the starting lineup.
Correct.
I don't care about righty-lefty. In fact, IKF has reverse splits. See, it's 300 against righties. McCutchen's hitting 176, but that's batting title territory in this lineup, and Joey Bart should always be in the lineup. He didn't choose any of them. He went with the Canario scenario, and big surprise, our friend Canario struck out like he has in 25 of his 65 big league at-bats. So you took this unbelievable feel-good opportunity, even a good PR move before the game, and you turned it into yet another PR disaster. Bob, these guys could screw up a pot of boiling water. They could screw up a lemonade stand. Forget about a one-car funeral. They could screw up a no-car funeral. What are they doing? How do you turn that night into what happened, Bob? Please tell me. And by the way, let me finish with this. Bob Nutting should have called down to the dugout or walked down and said to Shelty, McCutcheon's in the lineup tonight. Put him wherever you want. He's in the lineup. Not only because there's going to be 38,000 people here, and we're sitting here at 8-13 or whatever they were that night, but he's also a pretty good option. Now, we'll get into whether McCutcheon was right going on social media. It's not like he's tearing up the league, but he's a better option than half the guys they had in there, and he's Andrew McCutcheon, and he should have been in the lineup. Bob?
For all those reasons, I agree. I mean, you said exactly what I would have said about, first of all, McCutcheon and Cruz should be in the lineup every single day. We saw on Sunday that Cruz wasn't in the lineup after he was, you know, spelled because he needed to sit, or I don't know what the deal is. He's a young guy. He's your best bat in terms of power. He may be their only bat in terms of power right now. On that day, when you have that many people, you should have your A lineup in there. If they have a B1 and they don't have an A1, put the B lineup. It's got to be the best lineup. You cannot have those guys not in the lineup. And they had a day off today, for example. So what are they doing over the weekend when you know you have a day off on Monday? You don't need to give other guys days off. I'm sorry. I see guys play almost every day down in Atlanta, and they don't ask for days off. Sure, if you go to the manager and say, hey, I'm not feeling something's wrong, that's different. But just to give them arbitrary days off, Andrew McCutcheon is there. He made it clear he wanted to play, and he didn't play. That's a PR disaster when you have 38,000 people there. I want to see the best lineup I can see, whatever that may be. It may not be the best in baseball, but it's their best. We didn't see their best. And whenever you have lineups shifting the way they do, you day in and day out, to me, I'm sorry, you can't get any kind of feel for what you have. And nobody knows their role specifically. It's like you're just, you know, putting names in a hat, picking out a lineup, it seems. It changes every single time. McCutcheon at times should be a leadoff. He's better than with some of the people they put there. He can get on base. His on-base percentage is better than most on the team. So put him in the leadoff spot. He, you know, can't run the way he used to, but he gets on base. But for him not to be in the lineup that day, and Cruz yesterday, after you're down 2 in this series, you need to do something here to avoid going 7 games under, and to your math, put yourself in a position to go 89-51. These games matter. And they're treating him as if they're trying to save their physical conditioning so that they could be available in October or September.
Well said there. What in the world is Shelton doing? What in the world is Ben Cherington doing, other than going on his radio show and talking about how surface-level stats differ from the deep analytics? And what is Bob Nutting doing? By the way, he should never be involved in lineups except for this weekend. O'Neill Cruz needs more rest than any 26-year-old man I've ever seen. Limits.
Getting him off his feet.
He needs to get off his feet. This is like Mulsey at a Penn State bender when he was going there. He needs to get off his feet the next day? What is happening? He leads the league in steals. We're over the leg injury. He's actually off to a sizzling start right now. His OPS is climbing up toward 900.
Right.
He has 5 home runs.
3 in the last week and a grand slam followed by leadoff home runs in back-to-back days.
So he needed to get him off his feet?
So to go back to what you said about Cutch, he was available today, but he did not DH. So what was the reason he did not DH and Swiss played?
Giving Cruz a day off, getting him off his feet, and deciding to keep Cruz in the lineup because he's been swinging the bat probably as well as anybody except for Valdez.
So why is he off his feet one night? Okay, he still has his bat, but then he's off the next day. And by the way, when he needs the Saturday rest to get off his feet, that screws up everything because you said you don't want to put McCutcheon in the field. And then he's not in your lineup yesterday. You're right, Bob. They better start treating every game now like it's game 7. I'm sorry to say that in mid-April, but that's where we are. I just told you they need to finish 81-58. It's not going to matter who's rested in July or August, let alone September. You have to win today. That is just derelict of duty not to have by far your most fearsome hitter in the lineup yesterday when you're about to get swept yesterday. It's mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling that Jack Sawinski was on the team and is still on the team. Somebody thought it was a good idea to have Jiwon Bae on the opening day roster. Somebody thought it was a good idea to still have Jack Sawinski here. What is going on?
Sawinski strikes out almost half the time. He doesn't even put the ball in play. And the other day, with the tying run at third, he's up there, just put the ball in play. Okay, if you don't hit a home run, fine, but put the ball in play to give yourself a shot somewhere. Instead, they strike out. They strike out way too much. They've been thrown out on the base paths every single day, it seems. They lead the National League in 12 outs at third base. You don't like to see
that. Is that right?
Yeah, you don't like to see that for like a half a year, let alone the first
It happened
month.
Twice in two nights. Is that now, Mike Rebelgo just waving guys, or are they going on their
well,
own?
Well, the most recent one was that Valdez when he was safe. See, that stuff drives me nuts, though. Honestly, when you're declared safe, you have your hand on the bag.
I don't care. I don't care.
How long are you going to hold
Immaterial.
It?
Going to third base there is
well,
an
was,
act of
I'm
insanity.
I'm not going to disagree with that. That was stupid. My point was he was called safe, hand on the bag.
I know. You okay, set yourself play, up for that situation.
Yeah, but you know, I guess you can stand there all day and wait till his hand comes off the base.
Yep.
So it's stupid. That once you're safe, you're safe.
They set themselves up for that.
No, I know. I'm just saying I mean, he's not fast anyway. I don't know what in the world he's doing in that situation, even trying to get to third.
I mean, it's just, I can't believe what we're watching. I thought that.
And they're wasting Paul Skeens starts.
Again.
Every
yes,
time you
again.
Turn around, they should right. be winning all the Paul Skeens starts.
And you notice that none of those prominent players are backing down from this idea that sell the team is something. Oh, they shouldn't be doing that. Wonder what Rowdy Tellez would be doing right now. He'd probably be fighting people in the stands. Skeens said something to the effect of they want to win, you know, but I don't blame them type thing. And McCutchen said the same thing. I don't even know what the top story is in this disaster today. It has to be that Andrew McCutchen sounded off on social media on that night, then deleted the post later in the night, then talked yesterday, I believe, about how he believes he should be playing more, Bob. Like you have McCutchen now piping up.
He's willing to play the field. He was willing to do a lot of things. He looked actually pretty good out there. If he's okay, then why wouldn't management be okay with him playing? Why wouldn't Derek Shelton, if he's okay, you play him? Especially in front of 38,000 people.
That's the thing the other night. Like, part of me
said, if they were there to see Skeens, the second guy they wanted to see was McCutchen. And the lineup were Cruz, those three people.
Absolutely. Now, part of me says that, is it McCutchen really is it a good idea or valid to see him piping up? He's not exactly killing the ball here. What's he hitting, 231?
That's better than a large percentage.
Well, that's the other. Two things can be true. I'm not sure McCutchen's in a position to say, get me in there, I need to play. And yet, he should be in there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think both those things can be true.
But he gets on base more than they do. He has more awareness of the strike zone than any of them.
He'll give you a more professional at bat for sure. And they're 7-7 with him in the lineup, 1-8 without him. But I'm just flabbergasted that night turned into what it did. Like, I'm reading on social media, Nutting's going to give everybody a bobblehead. This is great. Maybe this will be at least one great night, great weather, Skeens night at the ballpark, where again, Bob, the line, I'm sure you guys had video of it on the newscast, the line stretched all the way to Fort Duquesne Boulevard, and then suddenly McCutchen's not in the lineup. Suddenly they can't score. Suddenly, McCutchen's piping up on social media, and the game winds down with 38,000 people. I don't know how many were chanting, sell the team, but it happened again. It appeared it was muted on the television broadcast, which, of course, then flooded social media. You know, the one rule of PR is don't make it worse. It's like the Hippocratic Oath, right? Don't make it worse. And they made it worse by doing that. And people noticed, and then the Twitter site Awful Announcing has it, and then they have 80,000 views on it, and then it becomes a story bigger than it should have been, you know? And it's just, how do you turn that into that? It's like screwing up flushing a toilet limits, which is appropriate because that's where the season is right now. Your thoughts?
Yeah, pretty much down the drain. I thought that this could have been a weekend for them, especially with Cleveland in town. I know it's not an actual rival, but anytime you play Cleveland, it feels like it. where they really could have stole a little bit of the spotlight with Skeens, Keller, some decent matchups, good weather. It felt like the unofficial start of summer,
yes,
at least with how the weather really turned. And
why weren't
awesome.
You there? I was stunned that you weren't there.
So I had my sister's 21st birthday was this weekend, and we had our family party on Saturday, so I was spending it with them, but we were all watching it on TV, and uncles, cousins, my family from Youngstown was in, and they're fans of the Guardians. And they were basically saying, like, is it this bad? Like, is what you're saying with this franchise, with the response from the fans, they see the sell the team chance and everything that happened with Skeens at McAfee. And that's an organization of a similar market size that has put it all together because of smart, data-driven, right moves, whatever. The whole thing was a disaster for me. Entire disaster.
And it started with a good week. You know, they took 3 or 4 from Washington. You know, they got lucky in a couple, but so what? They won 3 or 4. You thought coming into the weekend they would have an opportunity to take a successful swing heading into this road trip. And instead they got, they didn't, you know, offense, just no hitting whatsoever at all.
What do you make of both of you, of McCutchen going on social media with a complaint? And he seemed to be saying, yesterday, he wanted to clarify, but it almost sounded worse to me, like, hey, if you're going to give me a day off, give me a full day off. It wasn't a day off. Like, wait, you wanted the day off? The whole day off? Like, I don't know what he's trying to say here. I think he was PO'd is the situation, yeah, on Saturday, that he wasn't starting and that he didn't get in an obvious situation for him or IKF or Joey Bart. And if I'm Bob Nutting looking at Derek Shelton today, what are you looking at, Bob? Bob Nutting. What are you looking at here? Do you need more evidence that it's time to move on? What the hell are you looking at? And here's the other thing that bothered me, is that McCutchen said yesterday he hasn't talked to Shelton about any of this. What? Go to the manager. Why are you going to social media? So there were things on both sides.
Yeah. I would never go to, it doesn't matter what you do for a living. If you take the social media over going to the guy who's responsible for your paycheck or your lineup, you got to go to them directly. That's how any good conversation should start. If you have a complaint, don't go. The first thing people do is go to social media. And the fact that he had to delete it tells you that he knew that he shouldn't have done it. And then he tried to backtrack a little bit on it. Just don't go there. Why does everyone have to do everything on social media? Where have we learned that you have to put all your dirty laundry, your complaints on social media? Why do people do this? It's the worst thing you can do.
Man, it's a story now, and I agree with you. It's a story now. This is McCutchen, who's voicing displeasure with the Pirates. He just is. Any way you slice that.
But he voices displeasure, acknowledging he hasn't talked to the manager.
Right.
If you have displeasure, go to him.
I agree.
I'd shut the door and start screaming.
And for those who don't know, he went on, I believe it was Twitter. When did he go on? Was this right before the game or after
this
the game?
This was like 20 minutes before the game.
Wow. So it said, after it was revealed that somebody posted McCutchen gets a day off type thing, he in quotes put day off with that emoji. How would you describe that emoji, Limits?
Kind of like, not like, really like winking, what? But like, yeah questioning, yeah, the reasoning for it. Yeah.
Right. Your thoughts on McCutchen and how he's handling this, and how, again, what a PR nightmare it is to have him piping up now.
See, I have no problem with McCutchen stating it on social media. What I do have an issue with is the fact that he hasn't spoken to Shelton about this. If I was in his position, would have preferred to see him do both, because I think McCutchen is reaching a boiling point. This is year 3 of his return to Pittsburgh, and they have not done anything substantial, whether it be the management group to acquire more talent or the talent that's currently on the field to show any significant growth. And McCutchen probably would have went somewhere else to try to chase a ring, but he wanted to come back. He wanted to do it here. And he thought with this young group of pitching that they would be able to be probably a playoff team.
Well,
again,
I would say in that case, if you're McCutchen and you think they're going to make significant moves, you're out of your mind. But I think he does have a point. When he talks about the lineup, Bob, he says, this was a quote from yesterday. I can't remember, honestly, PG, Trib, I don't know. You know you're going to constantly have lineup changes, and that's what we seem to like to do here. we have a lot of lineup changes. That's unbelievable. And that goes back to Brian Reynolds in the offseason. Was he talking to Dan Zangrilli here, I think, or Zandangrilli? When he said, at some point, you have to have a lineup, Bob. And I would say, injuries or not, you have to have a lineup. This was Brian Reynolds in the offseason. This is basically what McCutchen said.
I look at the Braves, you know. They've got their
that's
set
my example.
Guys that are always in there. Matt Olson's played, feels like five seasons straight without missing a game. And then all the way up and down their lineup, you know, in years past, it's just the same guys. I think that's what I'm talking about. You know what you're going to get.
Run the lineup out.
Yeah.
Fairly consistently.
Yeah, fairly consistently. Guys are in there. You got to play through some stuff because that's just the name of the game.
That's the name of the game. And you could say, well, what's a guy like Shelty supposed to do? What kind of lineup are you going to have? I don't know, man. At some point, you choose your best guys and you pretty much go with them. And you're not giving 26-year-olds a day off their feet and then a day off when you desperately need to salvage a game where you're going to get swept. Like, what on earth are you thinking? I have no idea. And he's not. He couldn't be hurt because he went into the game later.
No. If you're hurt, you're hurt. If you're not, you should play. It's that simple. You know, I mean, this is, they're not playing football out there. We're getting run into and they're getting tackled and none of this. Just go out and play. If you're, especially given their stance in the ratings right now, or in the standings, they're 8-15.
Yeah.
They're so down, even in this division, which is still very crappy in my view. If you look at the top spot at Chicago, they have 10 losses. They have a better chance, really, Joe, of competing for the division than the wild card. I think the wild card is going to be owned by those teams in the National League West.
I mean, Bob, so, even to get to 8, what do you think it'll take to win the division? 87?
I would say 85, the way this division
85,
is.
85, okay.
But even that, you're right, the math is not in their favor. And they don't have any reason to think they could be that
They'd have
team.
To go 77-62 right. to get to 85 wins.
They won't be able to do that because of this start.
Because of this start, it's just, it's literally mind-blowing to think that, and again, it's the PR thing. Like, how in the world do you look at what's happening outside your doors and not put McCutchen in the lineup? How is that possible?
It made no sense.
How is IKF not in your lineup, Bob? I know Lively's on the mound, right? He's a right-hander. Mm-hmm. IKF has reverse splits. He's hitting .300 against right-handers. Joey Bart is hitting .263 with a .720 OPS against righties. Again, that's not going to win you the MVP award, but in this lineup, he's, you know, Lee Lacy in this lineup. Remember him, Bob?
Number 22, Lee yeah. Lacy. Yeah, I love Lee Lacy.
He's the hit man. He's Mike yeah. Easler in this line. What are you doing? And then you have a chance. Bob, it's 2-0, okay? It's 2-0 in the 7th inning Saturday night, and a miracle has occurred. Jared Triolo just got an extra base hit, right? Sawinski, or somebody struck out before that. And then it's Sawinski coming up. Am I right about that in
yes.
the 7th inning? So your choices there are, if you're Derek Shelton, your choices there, I believe to face a lefty at that point, are Andrew McCutchen, IKF, Joey Bart, or Canario. I think any person right now who's living on the planet and has any grasp of baseball chooses anybody but choice D. That dude's batting .087, Canario. He can't hit righties or lefties. He's .143 against lefties, and he's .000 against righties this season. So big surprise again that he struck out. He has struck out 25 times in 65 at-bats. You or I could do that. And then Shelty explains after the game that he was in there because he could hit a homer. So could Bart. So could McCutchen.
Any of them.
McCutchen's only home run this season is against a righty. And more to the point, Bob, why are you taking the high-risk-reward choice there of maybe he'll hit a homer? It's 2-0 with a runner on second. What you need there is there's a much better chance to get a good at bat from one of those other guys than a home run from the Canario scenario, right?
Yeah, and it was the wrong choice. Of all the choices, A, B, C, D, he picked D, and he should get an F for picking D. It was
it's like
wrong...
me on my SAT, Bob. Yeah, I was just guessing at that point.
Yeah, I mean, it made no sense.
It made no sense.
And okay, while Shelton has all these people and choices to make, and he's failed at making the right one several times, it's the GM who continues to be in denial about what's going on, it seems. Every time I listen to him, I come away thinking they're much better than they are. Because he thinks...
Well, it's those below the surface stats,
stuff,
yeah.
I don't care what the metric stuff says.
Neither do I.
We have been inundated with metric stuff to the point where you're ignoring what you're seeing. And what you're seeing is a team that can't hit. Your metrics may say, well, they're hitting the ball hard. The velo's up. It's just, okay, fine. But you're not hitting.
No, I don't. And what about how a simple stat like past performance? I could have predicted Adam Frazier's hitting 209 because that's basically what he's done since he left here. Tommy Pham is a fading player at 37 who wasn't good last year. What a giant shock it is that he's not good this year. Jack Sawinski is never good. What a giant shock that he's not good. Canario can't play, just like Brian De La Cruz, a guy they brought in to be their cleanup hitter at the deadline last year, and who they, after watching him for 10 games and realizing he doesn't know how to play baseball, cut him. I mean, at what point is Charrington held responsible for this? Then he goes on the air. We're going to hear this yesterday. From yesterday, we'll hear this at the top of the hour. And talks about these deep level stats, like their surface level, and well, that's where the games are won and lost, but much deeper. What are we, Bob, a team of archaeologists here? I don't feel like digging for that.
When you spend a lot of money on bringing in these kind of metric guys who don't play baseball, in my view, they sit there with numbers and they could do whatever they want, crunch numbers every which way. And the bottom line is you have to look at the team for what it is and you have to watch them. And if you watch them, you should come to a much different conclusion than, well, their metrics suggest that they're actually hitting the ball better than it shows.
See, that's the danger of it, and you're right. I don't really agree. I think that analytics are a gigantic part of the game.
Not to this level.
But what
analytics... You can't defend this performance by using analytics.
No, but that's different than saying analytics are important.
They rely on them far too much to the point where they
Who's in their analytics department that's telling them that Sawinski's a good choice to be a major leaguer?
I don't know.
Who's in their analytics department with Canario, with Pham and Frazier? Like who's telling you these, based on deep analytics, bring these guys to your team, keep them in the majors?
But they're making decisions because of it, Joe. That's when it goes overboard.
I agree with that.
You can't make decisions based on that. I always say you got to look the eye test. Okay, the eye test. Maybe my eyes aren't what they used to be, but I still can see what I see, and what I see ain't very good.
Well, what's your take then, the eye test on Alexander Canario? My eye test tells me he strikes out all the time and can't hit righties or lefties, and there ain't much left after righties or lefties.
You know, he's one of those guys they were hoping on. He's one of those guys they saw potentially, and they saw firsthand in his first game with the Cubs, hit a grand slam against him, had five RBIs. Maybe that stuck in their craw and said, hey, he's 24, we can get something out of him. Maybe so. But so far that has not happened. But when you spend your time surfing through other teams' trash, and I hate to use that word, but that's pretty much what you're doing. When someone's not, you know, made available because you're going and taking some guys' stuff that they don't want.
That's what they do. And granted, Charrington is forced to shop at the flea market. He spends more time at flea markets than my mom.
So every level is to blame.
Right.
The owner doesn't give enough resources.
But you still got to find your bargains.
Right, but the GM misses on those bargains, and he's not doing it. Somebody's got to fight the owner and say, Bob, this is ridiculous. And if you're willing to take the paycheck and not, then you're going to get what you get.
Well,
someone's
got
to go up to him and say, Bob, just as I said, McCutchen should go to Shelton and say, hey, I have a problem with this. Let's close the door and solve this right now. You can't do it on social media. You can't sit here and be afraid. You got to go in and say, hey, Bob, we have problems. You cannot sit here and tell me.
I would love it if a contingent of their leaders, let's say Skeens and McCutchen and Reynolds, let's say those three, marched up to that office. You say, you hear what they're saying? What are we doing here? How about going out and getting a player?
How about
giving us a chance to win?
Muting the audio of the fans, how about going out and actually giving them something to cheer for?
Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And of course, off the top, brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding. Let's hear from Ben Charrington yesterday at the top of the hour. But your call's next, 412-928-9370, the state of things with the Pirates. Love to hear from if you were at the game the other night, how that turned from a feel good to a feel very bad. Bob, we should go on an archaeology dig. You and I in Limits looking for the deepest stats that tell us Jack Sawinski should be in the majors.
You think, you have
we,
to dig
think
deep
we could
here,
find him?
Have to go.
Put our little welding helmets on with our little shovels. Limits.
Yeah. You think we can find Mario Mendoza to make sure he can teach everyone to hit at the Mendoza line?
Man, we'll find Mendoza right underneath the surface. Then we go searching for Canario and Sawinski. We may never get there. We may strike oil before we get there.
You might find Austin Hedges down there.
Yeah, you might, Bob. Who else do you think we find on our way underneath?
Who's the guy who never played here, got paid for 2 years?
Burnett's.
Chisenhall.
Yeah, Lonnie Chisenhall fossil. You'll find the fossil of Lonnie Chisenhall on your way to Sawinski.
Oh, my.
What are they doing? What are they doing?